These questions can be valuable if you are talking with someone and you try to remember what we stated about the Holy Spirit. Pull out these 100 questions. You can go over it and you say, well, somewhere in this course we talked about this. Or if somebody wants to study this subject, you can give them a copy of this and say, okay, here's what we went over. And when they run across something that they have a question about, you can get your studies out and work with them and teach them on this particular topic. All right, let's begin looking at the review. All of these were covered in the course of our study. And if you're not sure about any one of these, mark it somehow there on your notes, and then you can go back in your lessons and see whether or not the answer we give in class is verified or not by looking at the verses and scriptures that were attached. Okay. The Holy Spirit is E, none of the above. Not a mystical, indefinable, ethereal substance. It's not simply the disposition of God or the power of God, nor is it the Bible. Why would anybody think it was the Bible?
He inspired the Word.
We often talk about the Bible being His agent, His means. And sometimes Spirit is put for His Word, and therefore someone may confuse and think, well, you people think that the Spirit is the Word or the Bible. No, we don't. I don't. And I don't think you do either. And so, just good to be aware of that. All right, number two, the Holy Spirit is? A, B, C, and D. What does omnipotent mean? What?
All powerful.
What does omniscient mean?
All-knowing.
What kind of being is omniscient and omnipotent? What?
Divine
being, that's right. So that would be. The Holy Spirit is, well, we answered that one, didn't we? Divine, A. If the Holy Spirit is divine, is He worthy of worship? Yes, you can worship the Holy Spirit, that's right. He is God. So there are very practical applications to understanding that. The following are attributed to the Holy Spirit.
ABC.
And when we understand that, that answers or goes along with the question number one, that it's not simply a substance, a gas, an idea, that He has knowledge, will, and judgment. Number five, the Holy Spirit possesses all the answers. Power to create. Where did you first read about Him in His power to create? Genesis 1. That's right. And miracle working power, obviously, throughout the Bible. And then power to reveal the mind of God throughout the Bible. And His love for mankind is seen in His work. And there are specific passages that talk about His love. All right. Number six, the Holy Spirit can be
A,
lied to, B, grieved, and D, insulted. Anybody remember where the insulted passage is? It's Hebrews 10, when you apostatize from the faith, you insult the Spirit of grace. Number seven, the Holy Spirit is A, B, C, and D. Is that right? Is that right? No? Which one's wrong? D. All right. Pretty obvious. If A, B, and C, D is not correct. That's right. All right. A divine being, a person. When you use the word person, it does not imply a body. A person can exist outside the body. How about a human being? Can he exist outside the body? Yes. When we die, our bodies are in the grave, but we are still the being that we are, awaiting the resurrection of the body when we'll enter into that glorified body. So do not confuse person with body. Okay, number eight. To say the Holy Spirit is a person means
B.
He is a conscious, volitional, rational, moral being. And we just talked about A. doesn't mean he has a body of flesh and bones. Number 9, one God in the Bible means? B, there's one Godhood and stands in contrast to idolatry with its gods of varying nature. Are there any religions that would take C? Yes, who are they? The Oneness Pentecostals. You see, Oneness Pentecostals. They believe there's only, that they're not three beings, that all three beings are three terms, Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. It's just three manifestations of the same being. Okay. So they do not believe in the God you do, although they may use the same terms. That's true in Jehovah's Witness. They use the term Holy Spirit, but they do not mean what you do. They use the term Jesus Christ, but they do not mean what you do. Same thing in Mormonism. They talk about Jesus Christ being the Son of God, but they do not mean what you do nor what the Bible means by it. So terminology may be deceptive. Okay. Number 10, when the Holy Spirit is in view in Scripture, what is meant is
D.
The one special, unique Holy Spirit. The divine Spirit of God, the third person in the Godhead. We talked about the term Holy Spirit. Is the term Holy Spirit always referring to the Holy Spirit? No. We talked about the fact that there are places where it is talking about a Holy Spirit that a man may possess. And so, whether or not it's the Holy Spirit or a Holy Spirit, one has to look at the context. Of course, you can always tell by the word the. If it's capitalized, that means, and if Holy Spirit is capitalized, you know that's the Holy Spirit, right? No, you don't. That's the translator's decision as to whether to capitalize those words. You have to decide from the context. All right, number 11. When referring to something in Scripture, it can be said, all four. Why is that true? That's right. Scriptures and prophets are agency of the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit is God. All right, number 12. When the same action is attributed to both the Holy Spirit and the Word, it must be concluded. See, the Holy Spirit works through the Word in accomplishing the action. We talked about that in the lesson. That's a very important concept. Number 13, we can have confidence that the Bible reveals the mind of God because?
See,
the Holy Spirit revealed it. What principle in denominationalism teaches B?
Baptist.
Well, Baptists are one of the groups, but there's a principle in it's cross-Protestantism. B. Protestant principle. Go to a seminary, you want to preach, you'll probably be taught the Protestant principle. And so then they teach it to their people. Who teaches A?
Catholic,
Roman Catholics. All right, number 14. Men resist the Spirit when? B and C. They do not yield obedience to what the Spirit has revealed. They do not yield to what the apostles and prophets have written by the power of the Holy Spirit. Both are true. That's how the Holy Spirit speaks, is through the work of the apostles and prophets. Some would have you believe D, which is not true. 15, the work or mission of the Holy Spirit? A, B, C. Who teaches D?
Calvinism.
Sam knows that one. In Luke's record in Acts, what's the correct answer? A. People understood, believed, and obeyed the gospel without any direct operation on their heart by the Holy Spirit. It's good to know that. Know where you can show that. And that will confirm the truth of the fact that you do not need the Holy Spirit to directly operate on your heart to understand and believe the gospel. 17, on the day of Pentecost, the Holy Spirit exercised supernatural power on? A, the speakers, not the hearers, and not everyone there. Who teaches it's everyone or most of the people there? Pentecostal, that's where it comes from, Pentecostalism. 18, the Holy Spirit? B, enable teachers to reveal the gospel so people could hear it, believe, and be saved. 19, the Holy Spirit. A, influences people through the revealed word of God. What is C? Who teaches that? We already answered it before. Protestant principle. It's in various denominations. Yes, ma'am. It can't be because I don't have it marked.
It seems like it could be.
Yes, I think you're right. Influence lost men indirectly through means to be saved. You're right. Thank you, Lisa. You got to check these guys. Remember, I haven't had the baptism of the Holy Spirit. All right, number 20. The Holy Spirit uses omnipotent power directly on the heart to change the character of? B, no one. 21, the following came to believe and find salvation before and without hearing words to instruct, warn, and guide them. C, no one. No one. And yet if this is if that's what's taught, and if it's true, you ought to find multiple examples of that. 22, men lost in sin were told? C, believe and obey the gospel. What is D? Who teaches that?
Calvinism.
All right, Sam, they're getting ready for you. 23, some of the problems with the doctrine of the direct operation of the Holy Spirit on the heart of man to convict and convert him are? All four, that's right. That the scriptures teach. Faith comes through hearing the word of God. It denies God's desire to save all men, makes preaching the gospel useless, and destroys free moral agency with human responsibility. And Sam's going to be touching on those things in his lessons on Calvinism. Number 24, the Holy Spirit convicts the world about Jesus Christ. B, through the revelation given through the apostles and prophets. And number 25, B, the Jews in Acts 2 were convinced they were wrong about Jesus by hearing, understanding, and believing the message the apostles delivered about Jesus of Nazareth. Number 26, the word convict in John 16:18 means to prove wrong. Where do you have that actually taking place? That promise, you see it actually played out.
Acts 2.
Acts 2, that's right. The apostles proved that audience wrong as they reveal what the Holy Spirit gave them to speak. Number 27, the Father draws all men to himself by C, hearing and learning the gospel Jesus taught. He does draw all men to himself. John 6:44 says he does. The question is, how does he do it? Number 28, the Spirit gives life. That's John 6:63. That's another scripture. Means what?
A
and C. So both of those are correct. Through believing the gospel of the death, burial, and resurrection of the Messiah for the sins of men, we can have spiritual life. And see, just as the human spirit gives life to the body, the words of Jesus about his flesh and blood give life to the soul when understood and believed. Okay, and we discussed that verse in one of our lessons. Number 29, the reason the unbelieving Jews and Gentiles in Corinth were not drawn to God was? B, the Jews stumbled over the idea of a crucified Messiah for sin, and the Gentiles consider such a message foolishness. Beware of D. Many misconceptions about the term natural man. And so, good to know what the actual reason was the people did not believe. Number 30. Christians can?
A, B, and C.
A, B, and C. Grieve the Holy Spirit, insult the Holy Spirit, and resist the Holy Spirit. But I thought the Holy Spirit was God. How can you resist God? You can't you? Because you are a free moral agent. You're a moral agent that has the freedom to choose. Number 31, Christians grieve the Spirit. C, when they do not listen to his revelation and live their life in accord with his teaching, admonition, and purpose for them. You remember where Paul said, grieve not the Spirit? Ephesians 4. We were talking about the things they were to quit doing and then the things they were to start doing. And so said, don't steal, don't lie, et cetera, et cetera. All right. Number 32, Christians can know that they are sealed with the Holy Spirit. A, through the gospel of salvation revealed and confirmed. This is a very used catchphrase, being sealed with the Holy Spirit. What does it mean? So we talked about that. That's in Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 13. Number 33, the unity of the Spirit. D is based on the oneness of the Spirit's revelation. A, B, and C are believed and practiced in the religious world today. All three of them. Some of them in churches of Christ. And so be aware of what the unity of the Spirit's about. Number 34, the Holy Spirit. ABC, comforts Christians, sanctifies Christians, fills Christians with hope. Now, if you get anything wrong, that what that is, just put you a note that says that's a mark. You need to go back and review that particular study where we talked about those things, that particular lesson. Number 35, which ones are true? ABC. So that leaves number D to be false, doesn't it? So you got three truths and one false. Christians are washed, cleansed, and sanctified by the Spirit, but not by direct operation on the human heart. Number 36, the Spirit speaks to Christians today. B, through the written Word of God. Number 37, when it is said the Spirit does something. B, it can mean He caused it to happen. What else? D, context and heart must decide whether He does it immediately or immediately. Any others? C. It can mean He gives occasion for it to happen. So B, C, and D. We talked about that in one of our lessons. Number 38. John the Baptist promised B and D. B and D. Some people will be baptized in the Holy Spirit, some will be baptized in fire. That while he baptized in water, the one coming after him would be baptized in the Holy Spirit and fire. Number 39. Baptism of the Holy Spirit?
B.
B. Promise to the apostles. 40. All four of them. Holy Spirit baptism was administered by Christ. It was a promise to be received in contrast to a command to be obeyed, to reveal and confirm the gospel of Christ and for special people for a special purpose. Today, Holy Spirit baptism is said to give you assurance of salvation, help you live a holy life, etc., all of which are incorrect. 41. On the first Pentecost after the resurrection of Christ, B and C. The apostles used the power they had been given by being baptized in the Holy Spirit to preach the gospel and confirm it with miracles. The apostles evidenced they had received the promise of the baptism of the Holy Spirit. That's right. 42. Like the people on Pentecost, men today can experience C, repentance and baptism for the forgiveness of sins. So the Pentecostal experience that men today can experience is repentance and baptism for the remission of sins. All right, 43. When people today claim they've been baptized in the Spirit, C and D. We should examine the Scriptures to see what they say is correct. We should try to teach some error if given the opportunity. After I finish this class, I'll be able to do one of those commercials on TV where you got all the fine print. Number 44, be filled with the Spirit is to see, to be intensely influenced by the Spirit, whether by giving miraculous powers or by being controlled and motivated in heart, speech, and action. Number 45, you know people have been baptized in the Holy Spirit? How? D, none of the above, right. What? I don't have time. All right. To be filled with the Spirit is to be given the ability to speak in tongues. Not necessarily.
Well, not necessarily. That's what the parenthetical statement says.
Well.
Not necessarily.
I don't have a parenthetical statement.
Well, mine does. Incorrect.
Huh?
But only, you don't have, but only is one possible, yes.
Do what now?
The version you handed out is not, remember, you and I have had other discussions, the version you handed out is not.
No telling what edition you have.
The version
Well, the one I'm looking at does not have a parenthetical statement on it. As I go through these classes, I change things. So, number 46, baptism of the Holy Spirit is best described as A, an overwhelming with His power, enabling one to reveal the mind of God, perform all spiritual gifts the Holy Spirit gave men, and impart miraculous power to others by laying hands on them. Very important to understand what baptism of the Holy Spirit actually is. 47, when we see the phrase, filled with the Spirit, see, it must be interpreted contextually, and it may or may not, number D, refer to supernatural power imparted to someone. Does not always refer to supernatural power, though it may. 48, baptism of the Holy Spirit, D, none of the above. 49, the Holy Spirit fell on Cornelius and his household, D, to show that it was God's will the Gentiles should be saved by the grace of God through faith in Jesus Christ. 50, just as upon us at the beginning, that's Acts 11:15. All four. That's right. Manner rather than measure. That's important there. And talked about two cases, Pentecost and Cornelius, where people receive these power directly from heaven. All right, 51, the same gift as He gave to us refers to B, salvation through faith in the gospel of Christ. That's Acts 11:17 on the latest edition, which you do not have. And then number 52, to be born of the Spirit is to what did I do? 51, I skip it? I said B, the same gift He gave to us refers to B, salvation through faith in the gospel of Christ. That's Acts 11:17. What? Well, it's not checked on here. Okay. That's right. D. I can get 100% tonight, Emma. Man. Number 52, to be born of the Spirit is to B. All right, to become a citizen of the kingdom of God through an obedient faith in Jesus as the anointed King and Savior. And number 53, pour forth of my Spirit, B and C. Employ different imagery, literally, than baptized. And C connotes something different, figuratively. That should be than baptized in the Spirit. I went over this, I don't know how many times, and didn't catch all of this, but anyway. All right. Number 54, when the Spirit was poured forth on people, see, they were enabled to prophesy, see visions, and dream dreams of divine import. That's Acts 2:17-18. Very important there to look at the context and see what they were enabled to do to define what it means. Number 55, same thing, the importance of context and interpreting is very clear here. Joel's prophecy of Acts 2:16-18, promised the Spirit be poured forth, A, on Jewish people, young and old, male and female, who were God's bond slaves. A lot of us, we, brethren, and my, if I'm right about the interpretation, misinterpret that. Look at the context. 56, by one Spirit we were all baptized means A, through the teaching and motivation of the Word of God, revealed by the Spirit, they were baptized in Christ. Now, 55 shows the importance of context. 56 shows the importance of the law of harmony. Because you can go back to Acts 18:5-8, and see that's exactly what happened to the Corinthians. 57, all the Corinthian Christians, D, were baptized in water to be saved. 12:13, people make that Holy Spirit baptism, which it isn't, 1 Corinthians 12:13. The initial sign of Holy Spirit baptism, A and B. Not mentioned in Scripture, and it's assumed distinction from the gifts of the Spirit in 1 Corinthians 12. 59, every Christian should experience B, one baptism. 60, Holy Spirit baptism, D, none of the above. 61. The first one's what? False. Cornelius was depraved before the Spirit fell on him. False. What about B? False. Baptism of the Holy Spirit enabled the Corinthians to live a life of devotion and sanctity. That's false. C. True. Samaritans could be assured they were saved because Jesus promised salvation to those who believed and were baptized. And D, false. John the Baptist promised that all he baptized be baptized in the Holy Spirit. All right, 62. Differences in Holy Spirit baptism, water baptism are? What? A, B, C, D. All four. All four. What? I didn't change that one? Okay. Important to see the difference. You can distinguish them with these differences. If a preacher today claims to be baptized in the Holy Spirit, number 63.
B and C.
B and C. We know he's deluded or outright fraud. His teaching should harmonize what the Scriptures teach. If they do not, it undermines his claims. You know the Holy Spirit gave the Scriptures. If he doesn't teach what they say, you know there's something wrong. 64. Men of the first century were baptized in the Holy Spirit. All four. Taught the same doctrine. Could give undeniable signs they were apostles. Taught believers to be baptized for remission of sins. And never used their power to make themselves rich. 65. See, we're humble men, never seeking their own glory or wealth. What a contrast to the so-called Holy Spirit baptized preachers today. 66. Indications a preacher today is not baptized in the Holy Spirit are?
C and D.
B is one. He says the people he heals must have faith. What else? C, he cannot perform miracles that are observable and undeniable by all. And D, he practices progressive healing where the sick person gets well over time, but not instantaneous. So here's some ways to detect the fraud. Somebody different from the miracles of the New Testament. May I say something? 67. Dwell in as used by the authors of the Scriptures. B, C, and D. Continued influence in the heart and life of an individual. Remember Colossians 3:16, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. Continued influence. Being united with another in heart, will, and life. Or John 2:6, about abiding in God and our Christ. And then continuing gracious fellowship. John 14:23, the Father and Son abiding one another. All right, and then number 68. The following are spoken of as dwelling or abiding in Christians. A, B, and C. Go back to the lesson on the Spirit dwelling in you. We had a chart on that that had a number of verses along that line. Question number 69. How many of them are true? All four. All four are true. That's in that same lesson. And that tells you that this abide term is not talking about something literal, but rather a relationship. Okay? Number 70, dwells in or abides in is put in contrast to? C, transitoriness, leaving. The idea of abiding, dwelling, continuing relationship. Number 71, the Holy Spirit dwells in us or influences us. A, an order leader to salvation. And 72, the Holy Spirit influences men and women. B, through his revelation, the word of God. And of course, a lot of people believe that he's inwardly somehow directing them or helping them understand the Bible in other ways, leading them. Number 73, Holy Spirit dwells in Christians. True or false? True. B, the Holy Spirit has nothing to do with our lives as Christians. False. Holy Spirit is the word of God. False. If you believe the Bible, you must believe that the Holy Spirit personally, literally dwells within Christians. False. The Holy Spirit dwells in us. B and C. To encourage, warn, and strengthen us, and through his revelation, the Word of God. Number 75. If the Holy Spirit dwells in us, A, B, and C. We'll have hope. We'll have lives of moral, love and moral purity. We'll want to engage in genuine worship of thanksgiving. We talked about why the Holy Spirit dwells in us in one of our lessons. So you can go back and look at that. Look at the verses that talk about that very thing. All right. Number 76, the Holy Spirit BCD does not literally and personally dwell in the Christian. Dwell in the Christian in the sense of an abiding, influencing relationship. And his whole, so designed is Revelation that if it is understood, believed, cherished, and obeyed, it will motivate, guide, and mold a person to be what God wants him or her to be. How can you be a Christian without the Holy Spirit? And how can the Holy Spirit influence you if we are not Bible students? If we don't read and meditate and think and study? That's his means of influence in our hearts and lives. The devil knows it, whether we know it or not. He'd love to see us not have time to meditate on the Word of God. The gift of the Holy Spirit in Acts 2:38. Which is the right answer? C. Must be interpreted according to context and harmony as to whether it's referring to A or B. Number 78. The gift of the Holy Spirit in Acts 2:38 is C. The salvation the Holy Spirit had promised in the prophets. He had been talking about what Joel said. Joel said, whoever calls the name of the Lord shall be saved. And David had prophesied that the Messiah would get sit on his throne. That would mean victory for the people. And so that's the gift of the Holy Spirit. God has given the Holy Spirit to those who obey him, Acts 5:32. Correct answer or answers? A and C. Refer to the power of the Holy Spirit given to the apostles to reveal and confirm the gospel with miracles and serve to answer the question of who is obeying God on this occasion, the Jewish leaders or the apostles. This is another place where context is vitally important. Acts 5:32 is ripped out of the context and made to be a promise to all Christians today. When the Spirit is capitalized in the Bible, B, it may refer to the Holy Spirit, and D, it reflects the translator's views as to whether it's the Holy Spirit. So it's B and D. All right? Number 81, when Scripture says the Spirit is given to someone, B, C, and D. It could mean the Spirit's power will be given to someone. It could mean the blessings of the Spirit promised would be given. It may refer to the Spirit's word that grants guidance, strength, and your hope. How do you know which one? Context and harmony. That's how you know. That's how you know. All right. Number 82, when it said the Spirit is given to us, we need to be sure who the us are in the context. Any other correct answers? D. It may refer to a specific group or category of people. That's right. Number 83, since Spirit is capitalized in Romans 8:26, that's the verse about prayer. The Spirit helps our weaknesses. What's the correct answer? B and D. It may refer to the Holy Spirit. Doesn't necessarily mean it is. It may. It may. But it reflects the translator's views to where the Holy Spirit is being referred to. If the Spirit in Romans 8:26, next question, is the Holy Spirit, then what's the correct answer on 84? C. Holy Spirit exercising influence upon God. Remember, he intercedes for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. To who? To God. And yet people got that in reverse. If it is the Holy Spirit, he's not talking about him exercising influence on us, but upon God. But I don't believe it's the Holy Spirit in that verse. I believe it's the human spirit. 85. The word Spirit is used in Scripture to refer to all four. Holy Spirit, a disposition, the gospel of the Holy Spirit foretold and revealed, and the human spirit within our body. So there's the importance of looking at the context and Bible harmony to decide which it is, not by the capital S. Number 86. Miracles have ceased in the sense that B, the spiritual gifts discussed in 1 Corinthians 12 have ceased. 87, the Holy Spirit gave the following the power to speak in tongues. A, the apostles. B, Cornelius and his household. C, Christians upon whom the apostles laid their hands. Anybody believe D? A lot of people today do, but it wasn't true in the Bible, was it? What are those? Where do you find those rhetorical questions that prove not everybody had tongues? 1 Corinthians 12. That's right. Match the proper purpose for the Holy Spirit giving supernatural power to the following. Apostles goes with what? C. Reveal and confirm the gospel. Cornelius goes with what? A, prove the Gentiles accepted by God. And Christians in the first century, of course, would be B, to edify the saints. Where is the chapter that shows so clearly that that was the purpose of the gift for the saints? Chapter 14, 1 Corinthians. Over and over and over and over again, you talk about edification. That's why they're used. 1 Corinthians 14. Were you here for the class? Man.
We're good teacher.
Huh?
We're good teacher.
Oh, boy. Flattery. But anyway. Number 89. Christians throughout the churches in the first century received the power to exercise spiritual gifts through A, laying on the apostles' hands. 90. God intended spiritual gifts to C, be temporary and to cease when revelation was completed. What chapter talks about the fact God intended for them to cease? 1 Corinthians 13. That's right. 91. Edification, as Paul used it in 1 Corinthians 14, and requiring their assemblies meant D, understanding what was being said and being strengthened throughout understanding. Why is it important to know that?
Speaking of the day, not understand.
That's right. People say, I'm just edified knowing the Spirit's moving. No, that's not the edification of 1 Corinthians 14. That's giving that word a different meaning than what was meant when Paul used it. All right, number 92. God wants the assemblies of the churches to be
ABC.
And so, what does that tell you about many so called charismatic assemblies today, churches where supposedly the Spirit is working? They're not the same as that group at Corinth, are they? One speaker at a time, no women preachers, prophecy was more important than tongues, etc. No interpreter, no tongue speaker. Everything be orderly and peaceful and edified. 93, to believe in the miracles today requires D. Would anybody maybe tell you it was A? Yeah, that's your problem. You just don't have enough faith. If you had a greater faith, you'd believe in them. No, that's not the problem at all. The problem is you don't understand the Word of God if you think they're today. And so that's, don't be intimidated by that. And of course, the idea of prayer and a lot of other things people are told to do to try to get the Spirit. It's part of religion in many places. 94, the Apostle Paul wrote that the better spiritual gift and the one to be desired was B, prophecy. That's right. And even in Corinth, there was a problem with them elevating tongues. Still is today. 95, in the miracles of the first century, all four, healings were instantaneous, faith on the part of the person being healed was not always required. Infections were not taken. Organic disorders, that is, having to do with the organs, were regularly healed. 96, those who do not believe in miracles today, none of the above. They will say you're limiting the power of God. What might you say, what might come to your mind about if you don't believe in God doing miracles like he once did, that shows you're not limiting the power of God? Think of Genesis chapter 2. How did God create Adam?
Dust.
Did he still create men from dust? Does he?
No.
What's the matter? You don't have enough faith? Are you limiting God's power? It's not a matter of limiting God's power, lack of faith. It's a matter of God's will and God's purpose. So if you can remember that, that's an answer to that. (clears throat) 97. Those who do not believe in the historical validity of the signature designed to confirm the U.S. Constitution, A, lack faith in the historical evidence designed to confirm to future generations the genuineness of this document. And the New Testament talks about the New Testament, Old and New Testament that way. Do you remember where? Hebrews 2. Very good passage to remember. That miracles were designed to confirm. It was God's testimony. Okay? And then 98, the gift of tongues. None of the above. That's right. And then 99, the tongues of the New Testament. D, were common languages native to people's culture. Where would you go to show that? Acts 2 would be a good place, wouldn't it? That's right. And number 100, the gift of tongues present in the early churches? None of the above. And if you were one of the unbelievers tonight who didn't think we'd get you those 100 questions, you see we did it. Thank you for your participation. Thank you for being in the study of the Holy Spirit. Hopefully we've done some things that will be of benefit to you as you try to serve God and certainly to worship and appreciate the Holy Spirit and His work. Thank you very much.